Okay, let's see if this thing works. There we go. Okay. Well, this is going to be difficult. I'm not. Well, they're there. We have had an incredible weekend this weekend. The youth have been at what's called Discipleship Now. Now, if you think about it, Discipleship Now. When I first heard that, I'll just tell you what my first thought was. Well, that's impossible. Because Discipleship Now, the word now means, hey, this needs to happen now, right now, okay? You know, sort of like this morning, we were talking about something as, well, just stop that. Just stop it. There's some things about me that I can't just stop. I have to figure out how to start stopping and kind of wean myself off of that process. You know, it's sort of like, it's like a lot of different things in our life. We learn them through habit. Discipleship now is not something that happens in an instant. But the decision to follow Christ can happen in an instant. The decision to say, you know what, I'm headed on a path that's leading to a very dark place. The decision to change direction can happen in a second, in a moment. But discipleship is something that takes a process. And this past weekend, as we've been celebrating discipleship together as the body of Christ, that's what these green t-shirts are all about. One of the things that we focused on is being on the same frequency. You remember those old radios? Yeah, remember the transistor radio? No, I'm looking at the youth and saying, they don't know that. Man, they got iPods and everything else, and, you know, we don't even do anything. We just have our phone, and it all streams there, and it goes straight to our earbuds and that sort of thing and whatever those things are. And so, but I remember as a kid, and even in cars when you had the radio station and you had to fine-tune the tuning as you're driving through the country, you know. You talk about distracted driving. That was it. You know, you're trying to dial in that radio station here in the hills of Tennessee and stuff. You're trying to dial that in, and it would just get a little off. But, man, when it was right on, you could hear the music exactly the way you wanted to. It was perfect. It was perfect frequency. And this past weekend, one of the things that the youth have been focusing on, that's the focus of the shirt, is dialing into the frequency to hear God. God is always speaking. God is always speaking. And if that's true, then it's not a question of him speaking. It's a question of, are we listening? And sometimes God speaks in a particular way, and it's not the way we're expecting him to speak. God will use everything around us to speak to us, to share with us his will and his purpose and his desire. This morning in our Sunday school class, we're studying in the book of Romans. And Paul, in the book of Romans, he says, look, you can look at creation. Everything that God created declares his majesty. The psalmist writes, that you can look upon creation of God and everything declares his majesty. The message of Christ, the message of God is written in creation. One of Garrett was talking about the miracle of just our bodies. Imagine, you know, when you get cut, everything that goes on in your body, you just flick just a slice in your hand and your body goes to work to do what? To heal you. Did that happen by accident? There's no way that happened. Your body is created in such an incredible way, and God did that. God, our bodies even speak of our Savior and who he is and what he can do. Are we on the right frequency? That's the question. And the youth this weekend have been focusing on getting on the right frequency, and I hope that all of us are starting to dial in the frequency of what God is speaking to our hearts. And I think, Hannah, Mike, are you going to tell us a little bit about what happened this weekend? And I'm excited about that. And so come on up here, man. I don't know what you got prepared, and I'm just going to step back and go. All right. And any of the other youth that want to come up and just kind of stand with him and support him, that would be great too, okay? Now it's working. Yeah, there we go. It's gray. Yeah, yeah. That's cool. Shameless plug. Awesome. Speak from your heart. That's all. Huh? I know. Good. It's working. Yeah. We have a video of you guys skating?
We have a video of Panamaka falling.
Oh, man. Okay, we will upload that. And, yeah, we all want
to
see.
I'll send it to you.
I bet it's fun. Hey, listen, they invited me to go skating, but the skating arena said, no, you can't come. Sorry. They're like, no. Amen. That's right. Amen. It's on. No, please use it. That way we can tape it. There we go. Let me see it. No.
Hello.
Now, there we go.
All right.
It's
hey,
on.
Hey, everybody. My name is Hannah Mike Higgins.
Simple thing. We have
this is my third year doing D-Now.
Awesome.
Yes.
Third year.
This is my last year, too, because going off to college and stuff like that, so that should be fun. This year was different for me, like all the other years. We went to church, like, 2 days in a row. Like, that was new for me. Like, we went to church in the evening the first day, the second day in the morning, and the third day in the evening. And every single session just got better and better. That's what I felt like. The first day, we talked about God creating the universe. Actually, Pastor Ken came in, and we talked about distractions. And we talked about Distraction.
Yeah, I'm a distraction.
Yes. So, yeah, we talked about how God, him being an almighty being, how he spoke and created everything that that we see every single day, like this church, the chairs that you're sitting in right now, like he spoke that into existence. So God having that power and us being distracted as Christians, like with our daily lives, like everybody, I know us adults in here have jobs and we have kids to watch. And so it gets a little stressful sometimes and distracting. And there's really not a time or a place for you, like, to, you know, be one-on-one with God. So that's, it's understandable, but, like, there's, like, a point where you got to realize, like, hey, man, God is here for you. If you don't got nobody else, you got God. So you need to, like, find a place where you and him can talk. And that's really how it's supposed to be. We also talked about, why do you think it is hard to find quiet and calm in the midst? I just explained that, so I'm going to go on to the next point. Okay, and then my man Nick, all right, he came in, and we were talking about how God speaks to us, and we learned about it three different ways, through other people, like Pastor Ken, he's a great example. Every Sunday he has a message, so he tells us about the Bible. We talked about literature, which is the Bible, like the 100% true, and what was the other one? Holy Spirit.
Good
That's
job,
how he could
Noah.
Talk
Thank
to us.
You.
So I'm gonna tell you a little little story. I'm going to college to Bethel to play football. I got a scholarship to go there. So at first, like at the beginning of high school, I didn't like football. Like football was not something I enjoyed. It took a lot. Like I had to be pushed by my parents to help me like to keep going. They're one of the reasons why I do what I do, why I kept going. And I just felt like God was talking through them and trying to tell me what I should do because he gave me this ability to be good at something, and I was just going to waste it away because I just wanted to be lazy. So with me keep going, it got me a chance to go to a great school and get all my education paid for. So that was a blessing. Sorry.
Amen.
So we also talked about Job. If you know the story of Job, Job was tested by the devil, so the devil wanted to test Job to make him turn on Jesus, but Job wasn't going for all that. Like, his family was killed, and his livestock was killed, and Jesus just told him, like, I know you're not going to give up on me, I know he's going to keep the faith, and he did, and he multiplied his rewards because he kept the faith. Like, he got rewards here on earth, and then he's living eternally in heaven with Jesus.
Amen.
So that was a great point that we were talking about yesterday. And silence, that was our last one that we talked about last night. Why do you think God wants to answer our prayers? So like a friendship, or like, okay, husbands and wives in here, if your wife is not talking to you, you know there's a problem, right? There's a problem. So what we were talking about with that is like,
Amen.
If you're not like... If you're talking like with God, wants the best for you. Of course, he wants you to be he wants you to follow him, but you can't just like take that and just like move on. Like it needs to be a two-way communication. Like the man already knows what's the problem is before you even tell him. It's just you to take that extra step. This is you to take that extra step to talk to him, because like that's just showing that like you're giving yourself like. Man, like, God, you can really help me right now. Like, even when it feels like I got nobody else, I still got you. So that was something we hit on yesterday. And have you seen God's eternal power on display in creation? Yesterday was probably the best example of that. They were playing some songs at the beginning of the service, and like you just see like a whole bunch of different churches move up to the altar, and it was a beautiful thing. Like I went up there too, you know, like watch holding people like. It was beautiful to see that kids, like young teens in middle school, giving themselves to Christ. Like, it was a beautiful thing to see. That's really all I have for y'all. Thank you all very much. Pastor Ken is about to lay that word down. And thank you. Appreciate you.
All right. Hey, before you guys go, let's pray. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for these young men and women. We are excited for what's going on in them, but that it's a picture of what's going on in us. you want to communicate with us, and we're just not dialed into the right frequency sometimes. We can't hear your voice because we're listening to too many other things. God, help us to recognize your voice and to hear it. I pray, God, that you would encourage these young men and women as they continue to follow you, because discipleship is not something that you do and it's done. It's something that we do all our life. I pray, God, that this would be the beginning and the continuation of learning and leading and learning and leading and leaning into the Word of God and recognizing that you love us, you care about us, the battle's already won, you can use us for mighty things, and I pray, God, that you use these men and women for mighty things all over this planet. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you, guys. Great, 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 great. You know, now I know, you know, there are some things that you realize only the government could come up with something like this. And that's where they would say, hey, I got an idea. Let's set the clocks back 1 hour in the year just to annoy people. I think that's what they did. Because, you know, I was thinking about that this morning. I'm thinking, you know, one of the reasons, the excuses was that let's set the clocks back so the farmers and ranchers and cattlemen and stuff like that, you know, can make full use of the daylight. I was feeding cattle this morning at 6 a.m., and it was dark outside. Yesterday, earlier this week when I was feeding cattle at 6 a.m., it was light outside. I could see. I had to turn lights on in the barn to find the feed for the cattle. So I don't think that they were actually doing it for the farmers. And so, you know, it was the kids on the bus. Well, you know what? It's daylight. By the time, anyway. So I'm sorry that you had to wake up an hour early this morning to get here, but I am so glad that you did. You know, one of the things that we've been studying the book of Nehemiah. We've been preaching from the book of Nehemiah. I hope you've been reading. Some of you right now are looking at your watches and say, oh my gosh, it's 11:15, and he's got two chapters to cover in the book of Nehemiah. But this is called, hey, we're doing a, we're at, you know, what's it? Anyway, it's something where you just change plans. We're changing our plan right now, okay? We are going to focus on the message that's in Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 11. But what I want to tell you is this. I want you to focus in on, if you have your Bibles, open up to Nehemiah chapter 10. But look at chapter 9, verse 38, the very last verse of 38. Because when this was written, it says this. Now, in view of all this, so what does that mean? Well, essentially, it's this. It's all the people have gathered together. We talked about it last Sunday. All the people gathered together. But if you weren't here, but here's what's going on. Nehemiah has led a revival in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was in ruins, and Nehemiah came home to Jerusalem and raised up an army and said, hey, we're going to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. We're going to restore the presence of God. We're going to celebrate who God is in this place. And so they began building the wall, and in 52 days, they had rebuilt the wall completely around Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem wasn't fully occupied. It wasn't fully populated, and that created a little bit of problems. So we needed more people to move in. We talked about that earlier in the time frame. But one of the things that was going on is that everyone could see that God's hand was on Nehemiah and this movement of God of raising up and rebuilding the city. But they could also see, if you read in chapter 9, they also understood this. God had a purpose and a design for all of Israel. His purpose was simply this. I want to use Israel to be a light to the whole world. He wanted Israel to be such a nation that every nation would want to come to Israel and say, what's your secret? What is it about you that's so distinctly different? And we want to investigate who you are. And they would come and discover that, listen, it's not about our wealth and our riches. It's not about the gold that's in the temple. It's not about everything that we've gained. What it is we have a relationship with a living God. And the gods that you serve are dead. They're made out of wood and stone and metal, and they don't speak. They can't hear you, but we serve the living God, and his name is I Am. And he is a God of great things and great proportions. We were slaves in Egypt, and God rescued us from that. And God brought us into our own land, and he gave us possession of it. And we were living in houses that we didn't build. We were living in cities that we didn't build. We were drinking water from wells that we didn't dig. God gave this all to us because he is a loving God, and he wants us to bless you as well, and he wants you to come into relationship with you. In view of all, but what happened is the people recognized that even though that was God's purpose for Israel, Israel failed. Why? Because they went their own way. This past week, the reason that the whole focus of D Now was on frequency is simply this. It's, hey, if you're a Christ follower, it's time to get back on track. If you're a Christ follower, it's time to kind of tune in the radio dial so that you're on the right frequency, so you're listening to God because God is speaking to you. And this morning, God is speaking to you. He's speaking to me. He's speaking to all of us. And in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 38, the people are saying, in view of all of this, God, we understand God is speaking to us in the events that have occurred. We've rebuilt the wall. We're rebuilding the city. People are moving in the city so that we can populate it. God is doing a great thing. There are people in Nehemiah chapter 11. You can read all this afternoon. In Nehemiah chapter 11, it begins to define everything where all the people of Israel are living all around Israel. They're reoccupying the promised land. And God is doing all this. And they're saying, look, in view of everything that God is doing, we're making an agreement. We're changing what we're doing. We're making a binding. We're fixing our seals to it. We're signing on the dotted line. One of the movies that Kelly and I love to watch is the movie about the Declaration of Independence, the musical, you know. Mr. Adams, you know that sing, they're singing, it's a musical of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. It's a hilarious musical, we love it. But one of the things that always draws to my mind is when John Hancock signs, and he signs in a big signature on that paper. He says, I want King George to be able to read exactly what's on there. And I would imagine when this particular document was laid out and everyone is affixing their signatures on there, they were simply saying, and then there's a list of names. We're not going to read all those names, but the reality is as you get to the end of all of it, what you recognize is that everyone who could understand anything, the Levites, the priests, everyone, they all signed this document, and they were simply saying this. Again, I'm giving you the cliff notes of this sermon, okay? All right, and if you want the detail of it, well, buy me a cup of coffee this week, and I'll be glad to give you all the detail of it, okay? But the cliff notes are this. The people said, look, this is what we're going to do. We are going to start using God's word as a way to follow God. Well, that's brilliant, isn't it? It's something you and I have been talking about over the last several months. It's the idea of getting into God's word on a daily basis. One of the things that we talked about, I know, on Friday night is in order to tune in, you also have to tune out some stuff. Not everything on Facebook's real. You understand that, right? You know, all those videos you see on YouTube, they've been edited, all right? I'm just saying, you do know that, right? And there's some good stuff on YouTube, but there's some bad stuff on YouTube. And there's some good stuff in Facebook. I get that, man. I got some pictures of my grandson on Facebook, and man, shoot, I got more than one grandson, but I got this new baby. His name is Jackson. Man, you know, I'd be shameless to plug, but he's just adorable. He's too stinking cute. There's good stuff. I get that. But we've got to dial in on what's good. We got to focus in on what's good. Here's the thing. You can tell me don't be distracted. That's what we were talking about Friday night. You can tell me don't be distracted all day long, and I can't do it, but I can focus. I can focus. And if we focus, the distractions kind of fall to the left and to the right. We don't even see them. God wants us to focus on his word. and His Word will lead us in the way that we do things. They said, they went on to say, look, we're not gonna do what everyone else does in our community. We're gonna serve God. And on the seventh day, on the Sabbath, guess what? We're gonna close our stores. We're gonna sit down and we're gonna trust God for this. And every seventh year, we're gonna forgive all the debts. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Yeah, that's what they said. This is what, because that's what the Word of God says. We're going to do things differently according to God's plan in our life. In fact, they promised, they said, look, every one of us is going to give something to make sure that the temple of God is maintained and everything is being done according to Scripture. You can read about all this, okay? It's in Nehemiah chapter 10. Trust me on this. Don't trust me. Fact check me. I dare you. Read chapter 10. Because what you discover is everyone, all the people, gave a minimum. You know, later in the service, we're going to have an offering. So, you know, what that's saying is as we, you say, what's the purpose of the offering? Oh, it's to take care of the expenses of the church. No, that's not the purpose of the offering. The purpose of an offering is to worship God. When you let go of this and you put it in the offering plate, what are you doing? You're saying, I trust God for what I don't have. I trust God that He's going to provide for me. I trust God because He has provided for me. He has given me a job. He's given me work. He's given me, you showed up in clothes today, so you bought them, right? Yes. Come on. You bought them. You spent money on them. And so the reality is that people are saying, look, we are all going to participate in this. Why? Because we love God. The mission of this church cannot move forward without the financial contributions that people make. That's the reality of it. But that's not why we do it. We do it because we're worshiping God and we're celebrating His goodness. It goes on to say that they were going to give of their first fruits. Now, hold on, wait. I got cattle. I've got some cattle. I've got a little bit of a garden and that sort of thing. What does all that mean? Well, it's the idea of giving God your best. The idea of first fruits is more about the best. Think about it. I love that one of the things I miss about California right now, especially this time of the year, right now, the strawberries are coming in they're coming in. They're just maybe 2 weeks away, 3 weeks ago. So we were we were in California last week, and they weren't in yet. And it was so depressing because you know that in just a few weeks, in the valley strawberries are nothing like the strawberries you get from California. The valley strawberries are so sweet, you just can't transport them. So my sons, they would just eat them on the way home from the field where we bought them. You know, we buy a basket, and I would get home, and the basket's about half gone. And it's unbelievable. You don't eat that. There's no what's on it. It doesn't matter. But they're popping them in their mouth. They're like candy because they're so stinking sweet. That's first fruits. The very best fruit is the first fruits. Think about it. If you're growing a tree and you're waiting for the first apple and you've done all the hard work, because an apple doesn't appear on the tree overnight. It takes some time. You've nursed it. You've taken care of it. A year's passed. Another year's passed. And finally, the tree is strong enough and it bears fruit. Because in the past, you've been cutting the buds off. Why? Because you want the tree to be stronger and to produce more fruit. And now the tree is finally producing its first fruit. And the people of God would do what? They would harvest that first fruit and say, this is the best. And they would bring it to the temple and give it to God. Are you kidding me? That could have been sold for so much more. What's going on there? It's the idea of bringing your very best to God. You know, this whole weekend of this idea of frequency has got me to thinking about the idea of first fruits. Bringing our best to God is bringing our best to God. You know, we all, I'm guilty of this, okay? I was telling the worship team this morning. I'm out of time. I was telling the worship team this morning, you know, I have two alarms this morning. I had one at 5 a.m. and one at 6 a.m. because I was worried that my Fitbit wouldn't, make the transition, So if I set another one another hour early and it went off at 5 a.m. when it was actually 6 a.m., then I'd, I'd be in good shape. I'd still have enough. But here's the deal. When you set two alarms, you know you got the other alarm. And so the first alarm comes on. I just rolled over in bed and hit that button a couple times, and it left me alone, and I slept for another hour. And you know the problem with setting two alarms? Another problem is ignoring the first one gives you the idea that you can just ignore the next one. Listen. The people were coming together and they were making a binding agreement to say, we're going to be in this together. And we're going to focus on what God wants us to do. And we're going to hang this together. And we're not going to neglect the temple of the Lord. Now, we're looking at things through the view of Christ and what Christ has done. And the temple of the Lord is not this building. The temple of the Lord is you and you. And you, anyone in here who is a Christ follower, guess what? The Holy Spirit is living in you. You are the very temple of the Lord. And the people there were saying, we are going to give according to the minimum and give proportion. We are going to live for Christ in this moment. And just a few minutes, and just, well, actually, I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. That kind of forces me to wrap things up. Okay, so come on up. They're going to sing a song. We're going to sing the song called Holy Spirit, You're Welcome Here. And we're going to have an invitation. This invitation is specifically for this. It's the idea of this. One, you know what? I need to talk to God about getting focused on Him. I need to dial in the right frequency so I can hear from God. This morning, as I listened to the youth speak, as I listened to God speak to me through whatever happened this morning, I've recognized that I need to renew my relationship with God. I need to dial it in. This morning, that's a time. That's what invitation is about. It's also a time for folks to say, you know what? I'm a Christ follower. I love Jesus. I love what this church is doing. I want to be part of this body of Christ. It's a time for you to come forward and simply say that. You know, and if you're sitting there thinking, you know, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I want to come forward. Then you just pull out your connection card and you say, I got questions. Just write questions and question mark. And give me a phone number. Give me an email address, and I'll get a hold of you. And we can talk more about that. One of the things that we've got envisioned, and our church council is meeting this Saturday, we're going to talk about this idea of just simply doing this. What if we had a luncheon once every so often just for folks to explore? What's your next step in following Jesus Christ? And if you'd be interested in just having something like that, just write next step. I don't know what God really wants me to do next. But the invitation is a time for you and I to decide, hey, especially this morning, am I going to dial in the right frequency? Am I listening to God? Maybe you just want to come up and simply pray and say, God, I'm not listening to you the way you're asking me to. Everybody in here has got one of these green t-shirts in some way or shape or form. They were connected with serving, helping, going, whatever. They were part of this. But here's the deal. What if we all decided this morning that we want to wear this shirt too? We want to be dialed in to the right frequency and hear from God this morning. What if that's the church we became? Let's pray and then let's sing and ask Jesus to speak to our hearts. God, thank you so much for your grace and your love. I thank you for the youth who are leading us and encouraging us. I thank you, God, for the way in which the leaders put this all together over the weekend, everything, all the work that went into making sure that all these things were done. And God, I thank you for the way that you're speaking to us right now. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Holy Spirit, we want you to speak into our life. And so, Father, as we hear these words, as we sing this song, I pray, God, that some would come and say simply this, Lord, I want to dial it in. My marriage is not where it needs to be. We're going to get on the same frequency with you, God. We want to hear from you. God, my finances are all messed up, and I know it's because of my unfaithfulness to you. I want to become more faithful to you. God, I want to dial it in so I can be on the right frequency with you. Lord God, I need you to set an alarm in my heart that I would hear and wake up every morning and study your word, read your word, and be with you, and to recognize that your presence, your Holy Spirit presence is with me throughout the day. I pray, God, that we would do these things. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing. And if you have a decision you need to make, why don't you do it right now? Okay.